Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 8:05. It is the Boomer and Geo program, Built Ford Tub Studio G in Florida. He will be back on Monday after his time off. 888-808-1019 is the number. Just a quick aside before we get into just St. John's for a couple of minutes. I had a bunch of people on social media. I made that reference. I don't know who Sublime's lead singer is. Did not realize it's the son of the original lead singer. So that's kind of cool, actually. I didn't know that. So get that out there. So St. John's tonight. A lot about, you know, the Knicks this morning, and rightly so, with that crap that they, you know, basically put forth last night in San Antonio, a lousy game. But for St. John's, you know, it's their season has been, I don't want to say magical, because I think you use that word when you get to the Final Four, but
and you win the championship
and you win the championship for sure.
Yeah, sure.
But it's interesting, like I go back to the start of the season and what the expectations were, and you know, last year Rick Pitino, I think they won, they even won 20-21 games last year, and also called it a miserable year because he didn't feel like he had his guys connected and playing the right way.
Well, didn't they get screwed out of the tournament last year? They should have made. They should have made it in the tournament. So, and what they did this year is they made sure they were going to get into the tournament by winning the regular season championship and, of course, the tournament itself.
Ironically enough, I believe things like what happened to St. John's, things would have happened to certain teams over the past 4 or 5 years is why they started that whole crown tournament. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so they... Is he on the line? Aha, we're talking St. John's, just a couple minutes. I would like to wish a legendary member of this radio station good luck tonight. Is it all right with you?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay, well, we're going to do it anyway.
Right, hang on.
John Minko is with us live from Providence. Mink, man, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Get ready for a... this game is way past my bedtime.
You know,
but we'll be ready.
What do you? That's a great question because I've done some of these games that are at 10 p.m. Minko, by the way, with BT tonight. We'll call St. John's
on
Omaha.
The internet.
Yes, on the it's on the Varsity app, correct?
Yeah, it's on Varsity. It's on Sirius. It's on TuneIn. It's on.
All right, so there's ways you can get it. Okay.
On the school's website.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you can stream the game tonight. What does a guy like John Minko do when it's 8 o'clock in the morning in this game? Let's be fair. This game's going to tip off around 10 p.m. What do you do all day?
Well, I would say this. I would go to shoot around here, which will be, later on in the morning. I'm actually getting ready for, you know, Arkansas and whoever we might play so that I get a step up if St. John's comes away with a victory here, tonight. So you want to get ahead of the curve so I don't,
So you're not scrambling.
Cramming tomorrow. You know, I've gone to the practices. I've gone to all the shoot-arounds, the public shoot-arounds that they had yesterday. Caught up with some people that that are special to me as far as college basketball is concerned. And, you know, that was very nice.
Well, you're back in the mix now, Mink. I mean, look, let's face it. This is big-time basketball, and you're the lead guy for St. John's. And what do you know about the Omaha Mavericks?
Well, you know what? First of all, they have a winning tradition. They're out of the Summit Conference. They're new to the Summit in some respects, and you know, they're a 15th seed. They won their conference. They had some good players. The point guard is really good, J.J. White. They got a 6'9" post player that's pretty good in Sutton, and I watched them practice yesterday. So, you know, they're very loose. And it'll be formidable.
Well, hey, who would you rather play? Who would you rather play next, Kansas or Arkansas?
It would be interesting for both. It doesn't matter.
They have great storylines.
You guys got to kill Omaha tonight by 25, right?
What do you think? Win by 30?
I mean, he's just gonna press them all over the court and just get a million turnovers in the first half. Game's going to be over by halftime. Is that right?
Well, if the game's over at halftime, I'm back to the hotel by 11.
You'll take that.
Nah.
Hey, all kidding aside, you know what?
15s have beaten twos before. So
you're not losing tonight. I know what you got to say. That you're not losing tonight. All kidding aside, is this the most fun this season? I literally just talking about the way the season started and the way it progressed. Was it three games or four games by a grand total of 7 points that they've lost? Has this been the most fun you've ever had calling games in terms of a full season?
Probably yes. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. But you know what? I know I'm going to say that. The proper thing. I take every game the same, I've done Army football back in 2003, they were 0-13. And I took that season and every game as if, they're 1-0. And I know that that's probably the right thing to say or whatever, but that's truly what I believe.
Yeah, at the end of the day, John, that's the only thing you should say, because if you have a job and you're covering the team and you're the home play-by-play announcer for a college program, some of these programs unfortunately have a hard time getting out of their own way, like Army did for all those years. I remember doing Army-Navy, and Army just could not stay on the field with Navy, and it was one of the hardest things to do, but you still have to be a professional about it and take it seriously, because the people you're working for and the fans of said employer are listening to you, and I'm sure a lot of people will listen to you tonight because now, finally, you get a chance to actually call real games when they absolutely matter. And that's, I think, what Jerry's really talking about.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it, well put, and that's basically how I feel. I try to do the best I can do in the play-by-play, but I'm not a cheerleader. And I'm take the game as if it was, even if we were winless in 30 games.
Yeah, and plus you got to work with Brandon Tierney, and we all know how hard he is to work with. I mean, Salicata walks around here complaining all day long about him. You know that, right? All right. Hey, by the way, just tell Brandon I'm kidding, just so he doesn't throw all that testosterone on you and everything. So saying, I can't believe Boomer said what he just said. Hey, I will say this. Patino has changed the entire culture of that school, that basketball program. Not the school, the basketball program, with the help of Mike Rapoli. And it takes money in this day and age of college basketball, college football, to be able to do what Coach Pitino is doing. But the beauty of Coach Pitino is that he actually really does hold his players accountable. I don't want you to compare him to other coaches that have been there, because those coaches had whatever they were dealing with, and Rick has seemed to convince everybody that he could change this whole thing around with the help of Mike Rapoli. But what's it like being around Rick, a Hall of Fame head coach, and a head coach that has had success everywhere he's been?
I would say this, he is the most focused coach that I've ever been around. Practice-wise, everything is to extreme detail. And what he does is he coaches possession by possession. It's not like, well, you got to play the cliche, you got to play the full 40 minutes. He wants you to play the entire 40 minutes every single second. And I'll give you an example. The end of the Marquette game, this is the one that's in the regular season in Milwaukee when Ejiofor hit the shot at the buzzer to win. That play was set up by a missed three by Lewis at the top of the circle with about 3.2 to go, and Chase Ross gets the rebound for Marquette. You would think, and this is an overtime, you would think that he gets the ball and he's figuring with 3.2 that everything is accomplished, we're going to the double overtime. But with 3.2, no. The game is not over for Kadari Richmond, who pokes the ball away from Ross, who was had the ball, obviously, with the rebound. The ball winds up into the hands of Wilcher. All this happening in 3 seconds. Wilcher with a quick pass to Ejiofor and the jump shot, and the game is won. But had they sold out at the end with 3 points, we'd be going to double overtime, and maybe we...
It was a heck of a play.
Yeah, it was a heck of a play. I understand what you're talking about with Coach Pitino, for sure. There's no question about it. Listen, have a great call
good
tonight,
luck.
You and BT. I will not be listening. I'll be watching on TV, unfortunately. But I'm sure your family will be listening. I'm sure a lot of St. John's fans will be listening. And hopefully, you know, the game is over by halftime and you can get to sleep by 11.
Drink some coffee.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed right now.
Exactly. Mink, good luck. All have right, fun, Mink. Okay?
Good talking to you, brother.
Great seeing you guys.
All right. Mink. John Minko, along with Brandon Tierney tonight.
Well, that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, just, you know, I just figured to say hello to the guy. It's a
you're
big
control.
Game. He's having a blast.
You're jealous.
I am.
You're so jealous.
I don't disagree.
I could tell. I could tell this whole week.
You
had a little
edge
to you.
You have to remember, too, though, so 9 years, Rutgers had the one NCAA tournament appearance taken away basically by the pandemic because they were 100% going that year. Then was the pandemic bubble tournament. So they won whatever 20, I forget how many games. They win a first round game in the NCAA tournament and then lose the second game to, I think it was Houston. They beat Clemson, lost to Houston late. Great game. But I did that game at the football stadium remotely.
Oh,
so like my experience at the NCAA tournament taken away by COVID,
not good,
done remotely because of COVID. And then the next year was the play-in game against Notre Dame. The just one of the best games I've ever watched and called against Notre Dame, the double overtime loss. So, yeah, I'm jealous.
Well, this was this was supposed to be the year.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry. You had two of the best basketball players.
Yeah, well, things happen, and so next
whatever
year
happens,
be the
happens.
Year.
I know it's all
next
about team, and they got to come together. And they play in a very, very difficult conference, Jerry.
Yeah, but it was more than that. It was the up and down nature of the team, and Dylan Harper was in and out of the lineup a lot. I mean, there was not a lot of consistency in terms of what they put out there, and that was certainly hurt. But real quick, before we take the break, we talked about St. John's going into the season. I know people thought they'd be, you know, at the top of the Big East. Did you think that they would have the complete season that they've had so far?
Well, I know the Big East wasn't great, and UConn was, you know, up and down. And, you know, if UConn is not what UConn has been over the last few years, then you have an opportunity to go in there and get some players like Rick Pitino's done over the last 2 years. And with his coaching chops and understanding college basketball and playing the way that they play and stressing defense, even with a off-shooting team, they can still win basketball games in college. And that's due in large part to the way he expects his players to play.
I mean,
it's intense, man. I'm just telling you, it is intense. It's not for everybody. And it's the same thing up at UConn. You know, he's a maniac.
Oh, yeah.
And
admittedly, he is.
And he's not afraid to tell you that.
Right.
And UConn has said, you know, we're gonna make our bed with him. He's gotten us to two NCAA championships. He's unbelievable. But he is an edgy coach, and it is hard to play for coaches like that. That's why when these guys are recruiting players, they have to make sure that they are getting the right player that is going to be able to handle hardcore, in-your-face criticism.
And it's even harder in this day and age, the way kids can just leave if they don't like it.
And the beauty about, you know, I was watching another interview with Rick Pitino, who was talking about how his team is always in shape. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Like, his team is in shape by the way that they practice. It's not about running after the game. It's not about running steps and doing all these suicide drills and all that other stuff to get your legs right. No. We're going to practice hard from start to finish, and that's how we are going to be ready to go for these games.
Puts him in basketball shape.
Right, and we are not, and he's not going to let up. And, you know, I agree with that, and, you know, and now the proof is in the performance.
I imagine it would be something like getting ready for the bike tour. A guy who runs every day thinks he's in shape. Then you get on the bike, it's a different type of shape.
No, you just got to, well... It's not the same. It's not nearly as intense.
Well, no,
but that's the thing I was telling you. Like, if I'm playing the Omaha Mavericks, the thing that I want to do to this team is I want to smother them on defense. And I want them, I don't even want them to think that they have a chance to win this game when the game starts. That's how, you know, that's how these higher seeds lose. Or, you know, or
the longer they stick around.
Higher meaning the 2 seed versus the 15 seed. Like, you don't want to give any ounce of chance that they think that they can win.
Don't let them hang around. Just
smother them in the first 10 minutes and get this game over with.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry. I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews. The Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep. The ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews. And the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All righty, welcome back. Boomer and Geo, Jerry sitting in for Geo. Al, we've been watching now in the last three breaks the end of that Arizona Cardinal Philadelphia Eagle game, and we still haven't gotten to the end of the game, and we started watching with about, was it 3.5 minutes to go in the game?
I think even less, maybe two something.
And the game is still not over.
It's taken forever.
And we've had three breaks that we're trying to get to the end of this
game. Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. And by the way, Joe Buck was the announcer. Bill Moss was the analyst.
Wow.
Joe Buck.
This is the 96 season?
Yeah, 96 season. The amount of crap that happened in the last 5 minutes of that game was incredible. They had a kickoff return. They had an onside kick recovery that they would have scored for a touchdown, but it was brought back because you couldn't advance an onside kick. I hit a wide receiver on the sideline who got knocked out of bounds, but he would have been ruled inbounds had he not been knocked out of bounds. So they gave him they gave us the spot. It's crazy.
That was a rule I actually did like. When the defender didn't allow you to come down, get your feet inbounds, they rule. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do it anymore.
I actually like that rule back in the day.
So it was, and we're almost there back to the end of the game. But
okay.
So I would say in real time, we've had maybe 25 minutes of real time to go through this. And Al's been, you know, fast forwarding here and there. And we're still not at the end of the game.
Yep, we're still like 30-something seconds.
Do they have the ball yet?
They have the ball.
They do have the ball.
Yeah, meaning I just completed the pass. Yes,
I think you're over midfield, right?
Yeah, I think that I want to say the next pass is the pass that wins the game. I think
if you're right, because the fact that you're telling us it was two pass plays and in the end zone, if you got that right, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, two completions into
two
the
completions.
End zone, I believe. Yes,
and then maybe the first name of that guy will come back to you.
No, it's Marcus Dowdell.
Oh, you got it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Last when I was last in here, you weren't sure.
Yeah, I told him it was Dowdell, and I'm like, what was. And I said, Marcus, I got it for
all right. Yes.
There you go. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It was great to hear from the Mink Man last segment as he gets ready for St. John's against Omaha tonight in Providence. It's actually the two-year anniversary of Rick Pitino getting the job. On this day 2 years ago, he posed for a picture with the late Lou Carnesecca and promised him, quote, I'll make you proud, coach. Well, he certainly has with the way his team has played this season. 30-4. They are an 18.5-point favorite for tonight's game. Here's Pitino on where he's at in his career now versus his earlier years with smaller programs and why it's easy for him to enjoy the ride and just have fun.
You're trying to move up the ladder. You're trying to accomplish certain things for the collectively with the team yourself. Now I don't have to move up the ladder. I don't have to look for another job. I don't have any dreams of coaching elsewhere. So it's just fun. It's, you know, you have fun with your guys. It's laughter. It's all the great things. But I do know it's coming to an end.
Now, if they're like struggling at the half, it probably won't be fun and laughter tonight. It'd be lightning into them in the locker room. But he knows what he's doing.
But he said it there again. It's coming to the end.
It is. I don't know why he keeps talking about death.
I think he's talking about his coaching career. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he's got to
give at least another 4 years, 5 years to St. John's, I would think.
I think he plans on it.
The financial commitment from Mike Rapoli is due in large part to... See, you can't replace a guy like this. This guy is an old school grinder of a coach who is just, you know, obsessed with the game.
Of course you can't replace him.
And when you do turn over your program to a guy like this, you know you're going to get... like the work ethic that you haven't seen before.
If I asked you right now, Chris or Boomer, whatever, what St. John's record was 22-23, because he took over 2 years ago in 23.
Yeah.
What do you think they were?
11-22.
That's what I would have said. What do you think?
Couple games under 500.
They were actually 18-15.
All right.
Now, not, you know, kind of middling team. Was that Mike Anderson, I believe?
Here's the deal. Mike Anderson didn't have the support of Mike Rapoli.
Well, that's true. And they were 7-13 in the conference.
And I think that St. John's probably said, you know, we're sick and tired of just being mediocre.
Yeah. And that's,
or we can't accept mediocre.
And that's what he has changed.
And because Rick had done so well at Iona.
Yeah, for sure.
That he was right there, right here, and everybody saw it. And Iona was his way back into college basketball.
It was the perfect time.
And it was the perfect time, and they got Rapoli to step up for him, which was really, really important. And then look at the garden now when they play basketball.
Looks like a Knick game again.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, as far as his players go, longer clip here, thrilled for them to experience this type of season in this market.
To see Madison Square Garden packed, and they're not from New York, they don't know what Madison Square Garden really is about, and then to experience that the entire year, to win the Big East, to win the Big East tournament, sold out Madison Square Garden, louder than I've ever heard it, even as the Knick coach. It was an amazing feeling for them, and now they get to experience March Madness.
And hopefully a solid win tonight, and then face the winner of Kansas-Arkansas on
Saturday.
There are
not many
guarantees.
They're
going to get knocked out by Maryland anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They're going to kick the tar out of Omaha.
Easy now.
Come on, Jerry, they don't want us coming in tomorrow when they see Maryland.
I hope we see that matchup. That would be a fun matchup.
Did you learn nothing from this man with the Knicks?
I'm sorry. The other day? They are not losing to Omaha. Here's the money. I'm touching the money.
Okay.
There's no way they're losing. This game isn't close
tonight. St. John's fans are... BT's going to come in here and strangle you if they lose that game tonight.
First of all, what I say has nothing to do with what happens on the floor tonight in Providence.
But there is a reason that they play the game.
And make money.
Mink told you, twos have lost to 15s before.
Of course.
It happens.
And a one beat a 16. It's not happening. It's not happening. Not tonight.
Okay.
No way.
Last night in Dayton, Mount St. Mary's used a 12-0 second half run to beat American 83-72. They advanced to face Duke tomorrow, and Xavier dumped Texas 86-80. Come back there with the local fans, giving them the support they needed to stage their rally past the Longhorns. Not sure where they were in the broadcast of these two games, but I guess the studio crew on True TV was in the middle of running some highlights when whoever was in control of the technical side of things must have hit the wrong button or a series of wrong buttons, because commercials started playing rapid fire until order was restored.
He would return to the game after some time in the locker room. And
here's another tip from the Tool Shack, how to deliver big.
Sabrina.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more?
Big Tropic Bowl fan, are we?
AT&T has a new guarantee.
March Madness is
part of everything.
That was on the air.
Yeah, those guys are still in the middle of doing the highlights.
Wow.
So the guys in the studio who were on the air had no idea.
That's hilarious.
But apparently that's how it went out over the broadcast. So I don't know enough about the inner workings of the TV technical. I mean,
damn,
it would be akin to on the radio side.
Just hitting buttons and messing
up the commercial break while you guys were in the middle of having a segment.
Were you ever nervous in there doing that?
Oh, 100%. Especially in the old place.
Yes, with the carts.
Well, no, I didn't deal with the carts.
Oh, you didn't.
But you remember the button on the board in Astoria that just said spots?
No, because I had carts.
All right. Well, the board on the button that you'd hit to go to the commercial break, by the time we were almost out of there, Eddie may remember, was a little unreliable, a little sticky. And when you were working with Summers and he wanted to be upcut going into the break, and you'd hit that button and it wouldn't fire, you knew you were screwed.
Yeah, and that's not your fault.
No, but that
means that case.
He don't care.
That's true.
Why is there dead air? I want to be upcut.
That's
so
funny.
When we got in here, it was like much more refreshing, more reliable, you know, digital equipment.
Yeah,
That was better.
I liked the carts. I just didn't like having to pull them every hour. And if you didn't, and then someone goes to break and you weren't ready, you'd be like those guys on TV.
Yeah.
And the carts were the size of like 8-track tapes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I just noticed your sweatshirt there, Baiting Hollow Club.
Yeah.
Did you play there?
No. There was an extra one, and Gio gave it to me.
Gio gave it
to
you.
And I know you guys are, you know, it's kind of representing.
That's a good place.
Right,
it's a fun place,
man. I figured I'd throw it on. It's a nice sweatshirt. It's very comfortable. It's very warm because you like to keep it chilly in the studio.
Oh, yeah, I got to keep us guys up. Jerry falls asleep if I don't keep it cold in here.
I know winter's over, and today's the first day of spring, but sometimes in here, even in like July, it'll feel like winter.
That's why I wear hoodies in July.
You got to keep yourselves awake. That's all.
Well, we are awake. The Knicks maybe weren't last night in San Antonio. Sandro Mamukelashvili was on some kind of heater, especially in the fourth quarter, to sink the Knicks.
Wow, here's this. Mamukelashvili, a career high. 59 points. He's made all 6 of his 3-pointers.
That's Tyler Murray at MSG. Spurs reserve ended up with 34 points on 13 of 14 shooting, and he was 7 of 7 from 3-point range as they pulled away from the Knicks 120-105.
I don't think he hit the rim last night.
he was phenomenal.
Like a Steph Curry shooting performance. They were just
ridiculous. Everything was going in. Everything.
That one hit the rim. But
he did miss one shot, but you're right. I mean, he was as good as he's probably ever been as a pro.
Impressive. The Knicks, not so much. Here's Josh Hart on life without Jalen Brunson.
We knew that was going to be the struggle without JB. But, you know, we got to make the game easier
I have an issue
for each other.
What's that?
We didn't do that today.
Go ahead.
Because JB is not covering that guy. That guy was left wide.
That is true.
I think he was talking more about their offensive struggles, to be honest with you.
Another bad shooting night, but yeah. I would just say that, you know, defense like Rick Pitino has shown us.
Go cover someone.
Can win you games. Yeah. And just because you miss a shot doesn't mean like your life is over. Get back and cover somebody.
He threw up a three last night. I'm sure, Jerry, you saw it. That, I think, missed rim and just hit the backboard. And as he was coming, Hart, that is, as he was coming back down the other way, you could see him shaking his head, throwing his hands up in the air. He was frustrated.
He also got his pocket picked at midcourt. Mm. And kind of like the play the Knicks made the other day with the fast break that was missed, but I think it was Hart. I think it was Hart that followed it up.
Yes.
And remember I was telling you what great hustle.
Well, he's a hustle guy. There's
they had
no
that
question
happen to them
about
last
it.
Night.
Yeah, I mean, he's a heart and soul guy, Jerry, like I tell you.
Like Jerry is.
But I will say this, that like, there are times where he gets out in the open and he's the leader with the basketball, that it ends up in a turnover.
Mm. Well, he's not.
That's not
the guy you want running the floor.
Exactly.
The ball.
Exactly. You know, every now and again, that's fine.
Sure.
But when it gets to be like, you know, 6-7 times a game and, you know, 3 or 4 of those are going to end up in the other team's hands or out of bounds.
Well, maybe that's why he's missing JB. wants his point guard back.
You know? On offense, yes. Yeah. But defense is about attitude, adjustment, and basically attention to detail and hustle. Same thing in every sport, by the way.
Well, we'll see what the response is tonight because they got to turn around and visit the Hornets in Charlotte. Elsewhere, NBA-wise, the Cavaliers with a three-game losing streak. They fell to the Kings 123-119. Lakers over the Nuggets 120-108. Mentioned Luka Doncic, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. And the Lakers still without LeBron.
And he had much in the first quarter, actually.
Okay. So LeBron on the sideline on the bench last night was rocking the custom Stadium Series Columbus Blue Jackets jersey. How about that? Okay.
Great.
Mr. Hockey fan, doesn't care.
Or not.
Very good. You know, it's amazing.
The things you think he'd be interested in.
For him, and he just looks at, gives you the death stare and the silence. That's
Move
awesome.
On.
Okay. Nets Pacers tonight on the fan coverage at 6:50, and then we will join Westwood One's NCAA tournament coverage in progress after the end of Nets postgame. Your Peter Laviolette take making the rounds yesterday.
Yes, yeah, I said it this morning. I said, you know, they're not going to fire him today, but they're going to. They got 13 games to either do something with the rest of this season, or he's going to be gone.
Yeah, Post wrote about it. Molly Walker was tweeting about it. So people.
And
were
by the way, and I love Molly, and I love Larry Brooks. Those guys do a great job. I do talk about hockey here. It's just not, you know, topic number one unless something like this happens.
I don't think they were knocking you.
No, yeah.
But it was an opportunity for you to expand more than you normally would because of what you just said. They know you know your stuff.
Yeah, yes.
All good.
I appreciate it.
Yes. Laviolette, after an optional practice yesterday, asked about his team struggling to get out of its own end, simple passes, neutral zone turnovers, and basically said hindsight's 20/20.
If you had a crystal ball and you knew in advance, you certainly would hit that even harder. We did, you know, talk about the things that make us successful.
And I never translated in that embarrassing.
Do you remember
loss.
What happened in the 94 season, what Mike Keenan did to Brian Leetch?
In the season? How about during the playoffs?
I mean, during the playoffs,
In the Devils series.
Yes.
Yeah. Benched him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
to the point
sometimes,
where the media thought there was an injury they were asking about.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody healthy?
And sometimes you got, and listen, Mike Keenan is a hard ass. John Tortorella is a hard ass.
Yeah.
I don't know about Peter Laviolette, whether or not he is or isn't or supposed to be. I mean, at the end of this season, there's going to be a decision that's going to get made. And if the Rangers fall flat on their face in these last 13 games, there's going to be a lot of changes. You know that, and I know that.
Sure.
The question is whether or not Jim Dolan's going to stick with Chris Drury at this point.
How many people do you think go to an optional skate after a game?
It all
like
depends.
That?
And I've talked to Matt, my son-in-law, about this. It all depends. There are different reasons. Nobody is required to do it, but some guys want to do it. Other guys want to protect their legs. There could be an injury where a guy doesn't want to go out there and do the optional skate. But they all have to show up for meetings.
Yeah.
And if they are injured, they have to get treatment. They got to be ready to go for tonight's game.
Right. And that's what some of the members of the beat were clarifying yesterday. Just, hey, optional practice. Here's who was on the ice. And I think it ruffled some feathers with the fan
with
base.
With the fan base. The fan
and they
base
said, well, they
disgusted.
They all have to go through
they're
meetings.
They're still there.
Video review, treatment,
yeah,
all those
like
things.
It's not like they're just taking off and getting away from the team. They have to go through their normal, everyday requirements. It's just that some guys go out on the ice and some guys don't. And you can say whatever you want. This is what I was talking about yesterday. If you have a manager, a baseball manager, and you know you're in like a 2-for-32 slump, and you're not coming in and getting extra batting practice, you're not watching video of yourself, seeing what you're doing wrong, see if there's something wrong with your swing or something like that, the manager's going to get ticked off at you, and he's going to hold you accountable, and he should be benching you because you are not taking the proper steps to get yourself out of, you know, said slump. And, you know, that could be the same for a hockey player on the ice. Like, you know, if you are having problems on the ice for whatever reason, you need more ice time, get on the ice, get out there with the pucks, work on the things that you're not getting done right. And if the coach sees that, then it's going to be really hard for him to criticize you. But if the coach thinks that you're taking time off and not doing what you're supposed to be doing to get your game right, now all of a sudden you're going to be held accountable and you're going to be benched.
We're looking for a response from the Knicks tonight, looking for a response from the Rangers as they take on a better Toronto team than the Calgary team they faced the other night. Flames will visit the Devils. Islanders host the Canadiens, who now have that second wild card spot in the East. Do some baseball stuff next hour, including a peculiar situation with a certain Yankee who left a game early the other day for a reason that I never quite heard of when it comes to professional sports.
Well,
when
looking forward to that. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
All right, we will get to that.
Never heard of
this. Wasn't even, it's less an injury, more so a medical situation.
Cool. We will get to it next hour.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now? No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us, Bill Ford of Studio. Before we boom scroll, it is amazing. We just watched the end of this Cardinals-Eagles game from 1996. And the coolest thing about it, yes, your comeback was awesome. Yes, your throw was awesome.
But there should have never been a comeback.
Whatever. But Joe Buck stating, this is the greatest three-week run that any quarterback has ever had in league history. We just witnessed, and it was Boomer Esiason. And that's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
He said they said 1,100 yards and like nine touchdowns in three games.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I don't remember that part of it, but yeah. I think I got most of that game right. I remembered most of it.
You did. Aside from the fact that you threw one more pass than I think you thought.
Yes.
You nailed every part of it. And they said you threw for it at the end. They said it was 367 yards, three touchdowns in that game.
And I shouldn't have had to do that.
But your special team sucked.
They were brutal at the end of the game. We missed an extra point.
Yes.
We gave up a kickoff return, and we gave up a onside kick.
And there was the kicker, Cox. What was his name?
Butler.
Butler. Oh. Kevin Butler.
And you enjoyed seeing some of your old coaches on.
Yeah, Jim Bossel.
Not so much.
Jim Bossel was the offensive coordinator. The next year, of course, he became the Giants head coach.
Right, right. And Vince Tobin, we watched, the head coach.
Vince Tobin, yeah.
But it was funny.
And then, like 3 weeks later, I was benched because they didn't want to give me a $400,000 playing incentive bonus.
But that wasn't
jackasses.
Them. That was,
well, it wasn't the coaches. That's more the ownership. And that's why, you know, that they have weird ownership out there. I mean, I enjoyed playing there, but it was just
remarkable crazy that you would have a stretch like that and they would make a decision. I mean, I know,
based on $400,000, the problem is that there were other players that had gone through grievances against the team.
Mm.
And what was really interesting about all of that is that that was with 2 weeks left to go in the season. And they told me on, I think, Monday or Tuesday, which was our day off. Monday, we had to go in and watch the film. Tuesday was the day off. And then Wednesday and Thursday, I boycotted practice. I didn't go.
After you were told of what they were doing.
I was playing golf at Estancia with my buddy Bob Bird.
Good for you.
And you could imagine sports talk back then.
Sure.
And just how intense that was.
Was it known why you weren't there?
Oh, all my teammates knew. At least the teammates that appreciated
me. You were supposed to be running scout team?
I wasn't running anything.
Or like,
I was playing golf.
Was that the plan?
I remember Bruce Coslett actually called me. He goes, you know, Boomer, you got to get back in there. And I was like, man, screw these guys. Screw this organization. What are they doing? Why would they do this? And then, of course, there were other players, like I said, that had grievances against them. And I was so angry. And, you know, that was 1987 Boomer came out.
Yeah, understood. And then you went back on Friday.
I went back on Friday, and I do remember walking into the locker room and a lot of my teammates cheering. I think Jeff Fegels was on that team as our punter.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah, because they, like I said, a bunch of guys had already had filed grievances over similar circumstances.
Which you would think at some point the league would step in and say, you can't. Why would you even write the contract? Why would you accept that contract?
Well, I mean, because back then that's the way the contracts were written, and they were written, it was a playtime incentive, and they weren't sure who the starting quarterback was going to be that year, either me or Kent Graham, who ended up coming with Jim Caposel to the Giants. I started as the starter, got benched because we were terrible. Kent went in there. We won a game or two or three. I'm not really sure. He ended up getting hurt against the Giants here at MetLife Stadium. And then I took over that second half of the season, and that's when we went on that offensive run.
And then you were pulled again because of the bonus.
Right. As a matter of fact, we were getting ready to play the Washington Redskins at the time, and the Redskins, who we played, like, I think 4 or 5 weeks earlier, was the game that I threw for 500 yards against.
Right.
And that was the game that they told me that they wanted to put Kent back in there.
Amazing.
And I had no grudge against Kent, but I did have a grudge against the team. And what was weird about that is I think we lost the game maybe to Washington, and then we went to Philadelphia. Maybe we won. I don't remember. We went to Philadelphia. Kent started that game, and then they benched him at halftime and put me in.
Hey, boom, back in there.
Right, in a freezing cold game at the Vet. And that was our last game of the year. And I remember that play time, I had to start the game in order to get the money. If I went in at halftime, I didn't get the money. It was like $400,000.
They did you dirty, boom.
But that's why, you know, when you see the contracts now and guys from my era or even the years before me, you know, you see these guys signing these huge contracts. I mean, it's amazing. And they've come a long way from, you know, the late 90s.
No question about it. We don't have time to do my boom scroll. So Nick in Hillsborough, what's up, Nick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
What's up? Thanks.
You guys were talking a little hockey earlier, so I had a random question. I'm more of a casual hockey fan. I like the Islanders, but I don't follow the league, like, you know, religiously. So, Booms, how come, like, with Laviolette and Torts, like, you see a lot of these hockey teams with a lot of retread coaches? Why is there nothing, like, going on, like, what the NFL does with the up-and-coming coordinator or the hot name or someone bringing something different? Like, why do you see the same guys getting hired year after year.
You know, some teams do that. So Edmonton did it with Chris Knobloch. He was coaching the Hartford Wolfpack there for 5 years and then took over Edmonton and got them all the way to a Stanley Cup last year. Other teams, mainly like the Rangers, they tried it with Quinn. And Quinn just couldn't get it done, and they had all sorts of, you know, a revolving door of players. And, you know, Jeff Gorton, who I thought was a really good GM here, and I thought he did some smart things, unfortunately fell out of favor with the Garden and Jim Dolan, and they decided to bring in Chris Drury. And, you know, we've been through Torts, Vigneault, Gallant, Laviolette. You know, I don't know who's next. Quinville is probably going to be next, I would think, if they don't get this thing turned around and they don't somehow make a run in the playoffs. Which, you know, as a fan, I sit here, I'm like, can this team do it? And they've been so inconsistent, but the talent is there. But as Gallant said when he was here as the Ranger head coach, I need the talent, but what I need is I need the want to. I need the desire. I need somebody to go and get the puck in the net. You can't win if you don't score. And, you know, we have goalies that keep the puck out of the net. You know, tonight you're going to see Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and some of the, you know, additions that the Maple Leafs have. And they're going to be a good team. They're going to be all over the Rangers. And can they handle the pressure? And can they actually show up and be connected as a team as opposed to what we saw against the Flames the other night?
Ryan in Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I just want to let you know I'm on the way to up to Providence with my son.
Oh, nice.
And we're just talking about the Clemson, you know, we're going to go watch the Clemson game because I went to Clemson. And my son here is a big, you know, March Madness fan, and we wanted to get your thoughts on who do you guys think about the Final Four.
So, Ryan, you went to Clemson. Are you part of their alumni group, IPTE? I pay 3 athletes a year?
No, I wish I had that kind of money.
Okay, yeah, you guys were like dirty as all get out back in the day, paying all your players, your Michael Dean Perry, your refrigerator Perry, paying all those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Homer Jordan, your quarterback, he came to Maryland to play a game against us, and everybody shook their keys in the stands because we all knew he got a free car.
You think it was what? So it's out in the open now. Back then it was kind of hidden.
We knew.
We kind of, well, yes, we believed
we knew who the dirty schools were. You know who the dirty
worse
coaches
were? Worse now
or
worse then?
I think now it's just unfettered. I think each guy is basically stabbing each other in the back. The coaches are just killing each other.
100%.
It has to do with money and has to do with nil and transfer portal. And, you know, that transfer portal for basketball, by the way, is getting ready to open.
Yeah, this week.
Right,
or next
week,
whatever.
Now, the interesting thing, the McNeese head coach, I don't know his name. But
likely going to NC State.
Well, he's going to NC State. He's definitely
likely.
Going. And they're in the tournament. So he's up there, you know, joking around.
He's yucking it up yesterday.
And he basically said, look, I've been transparent with my players. I've told them that there's a good chance that I'm going to get a job that I'm going to leave to. I guess that's what I'm paraphrasing. And he's going to take the NC State job, but he's going to coach them in the tournament. And I wonder how many players he's going to bring with him to NC State and then ruin McNeese State.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.